Hello, this is Barthi and Haiti. We're your boozy brunch girlfriends, and welcome to our podcast, where we'll drink and discuss all the fun and random things that we're thinking about and experiencing in our lives. Our goal is to provoke new ideas, thoughts, and inspire you to have similar conversations with your girlfriends.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Recording in progress.
Just in case you didn't know. What's going on? I hear ice crinkling.
Yes, there's ice in my in my beverage tonight. How about you? Do you have ice in yours?
I do. Yeah, I packed it up with the ice. I don't know. I can't remember if the recipe said to shake or to pour or to stir or what, but I ended up just pouring everything over the ice, one ingredient at a time.
I also don't remember what the instructions said, but I do remember it said use a cup of ice. So I didn't use a whole cup, but I did use plenty of.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I did. I used, I don't know, like 6 or 7 cubes in a cup.
Yeah, yep, same.
Something like that. Exactly. Something like that.
So how did you make your drink today? And what are you drinking today?
Oh, so our drink tonight is the Mai Tai. And I've never had one before. This is my first Mai Tai ever.
Same. I don't think I've ever had one before either.
Yeah, it's very yummy. It's sweet. It has a little tartness to it. I think it's a little bit I guess liquor-y. I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It's like heavy on
it's
the liquor.
Strong. It's definitely strong.
Yep. Because the only non-liquor ingredient in there is the lime, at least in the recipe I used.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So we definitely used 2 different recipes. So
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yes. So tell me your recipe. I think I did a cheap recipe.
Huh. So my recipe called for white rum, dark rum, orange liqueur or orange curacao, and something called orgeat syrup, which I could not find, but the guy at my liquor store suggested that I substitute for amaretto. So I went ahead and did that. And it also called for lime. Nice. Now, I can't tell you measurements because I didn't really measure. So I went ahead and did 1 shot of the white rum, 1 shot of the dark rum, almost a full shot of the orange liqueur, maybe like 3/4 of the shot glass, 1 full lime, and about the same amount of the amaretto as I used of the orange liqueur. And I just poured each ingredient individually into the glass with ice. I didn't shake. I like gently kind of swirled it. Yep. And I plopped a straw in there, and it's pretty delicious. It looks pretty too, because the darker brown color of the amaretto and the brown rum kind of settle down at the bottom. Nice. And then towards the top, it's like a little bit more like a yellowy kind of color.
Nice.
Almost like a lemonade.
Cool, very cool. Yeah. Like a iced tea lemon pop. What is it called?
Why can't I say that? I go to say that and my tongue is not collaborating with
tongue
me.
Tied.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer. Too many R's and L's in that word, in those 2 words altogether. How about you? What'd you do?
So I also found a similar recipe to yours, but because it called for ingredients that I didn't have or couldn't find, I looked for another recipe that didn't have those ingredients. And so my recipe was, it was 1.5 ounces each of spiced rum and the coconut flavored rum. So that's like that Malibu brand coconut rum. So it's those 2 rums. And then it said 1 teaspoon of grenadine. And then it had 2 ounces of orange juice and 2 ounces of pineapple juice. So
that is like completely different.
Totally different.
Really just another drink.
I know. It really is. So
that is so cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, and then I was inspired by the orange and the grenadine, the orange juice and the grenadine. So I added in a couple of cherries and a couple of slices of orange in there. So my drink kind of is reminiscent of another drink.
Tequila Sunrise, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Like
it has like some Tequila Sunrise vibes. The colors
and stuff like that. But it's really tasty. It's not, again, like sometimes I'm a little nervous, like, oh, will it be too sweet or whatever? Mm-hmm. It's not sweet. It's a very, very tasty drink. I think I'm assuming, and I could be totally wrong, but I'm assuming that the mix between the spice and the coconut rum kind of like pretends to be like the original Mai Tai kind of flavors. Mm. I'm just guessing. I'm just making it up as I go. I don't know.
That's possible. I mean, I didn't put all the ingredients that it, you know, calls for either, because this orgeat syrup, whatever it is, just evaded me. Just wasn't trying to be found. It's apparently like an almond syrup with some citrusy flavors, which, you know, I can see now why the guy at the liquor store said amaretto was probably a pretty decent substitute, because amaretto is supposed to have those almond flavors, even though it's not made from almonds.
That's so wild.
How wild is that?
Yeah, that is pretty wild.
Yeah.
I also, like, I am curious. I wonder, I'm going to check my grocery store too. Like, I wonder if my grocery store has a syrup there. I didn't check, to be quite honest. I only went to the liquor store to see, like, my local liquor store in my neighborhood. So I'll check the grocery store too to see if they have that syrup, the almond syrup. Because if it's just a syrup and not alcohol-based, technically the grocery store... Well, I live in a state where it's, you know, they don't sell liquor in the grocery store.
Grocery stores don't carry liquor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Which was actually, by the way, like a little bit of a...
beer, but no hard liquor and really no wine.
Oh, you don't... Okay. It was a little bit of a, like... It was a little bit of a culture shock for me when I first moved to the DC area, that when I saw like wine, beer, like at Target even, it was a little bit of a culture shock, but I got so used to it for like the 4 or 5 years that I lived there, that when I moved back to this area, it was a little bit like, oh, this is so inconvenient. It is super convenient to have like, your...
Oh, man, I have to go to a separate store?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even, like, if you ever go to, there's a Trader Joe's by me, so I do frequent Trader Joe's. Some Trader Joe's they have their liquor license, and they'll carry wine and beer in New Jersey, and some don't. So there's only specific ones that actually have the liquor license to be able to carry wine and beer. And even that is like, oh man, like this Trader Joe's has it and this one doesn't. So it's it takes a little bit of getting used to that separation.
It's like pumping your own gas.
Oh yeah. But I will say, like, it is nice
to have a little bit. That takes a little getting used to.
Yeah, I remember. Like, there's so many times that non-New Jersey residents will come through New Jersey and they
get out.
But not only get out, but get offended that like the attendant is trying to do his or her job, and I'm just like, dude, relax.
That's the way it is. Just sit there and enjoy it.
Yeah. Like, it's just really entertaining to, it's entertaining for me to watch, but it's also really, it makes me sad because literally they're just trying to do their job. I feel so bad for them. Like, they have to explain to the person, like, please remain in your Carr, my friend, mm-hmm. like, I'm just doing my job. I'm not trying to do anything yeah. to you. Like, if, I feel bad for them because they're literally mm-hmm. just trying to do their job.
Yep. Yeah. No, for real. I do remember moving out of Jersey and sitting in my car and waiting for the attendant to come out.
Wait, really?
Yes, and then realizing that nobody was actually going to come.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I was already like, my mindset was already there. Like, I knew that New Jersey was unique in that way. So, you know, when I moved out of state, I was just very much like, oh man, I'm gonna have to learn how to like pump my own gas. Like, I knew the basics of it, but I didn't mm-hmm. know things like how to fill up my tank or how to like limit it to only $20 and things like that. Like, I had to navigate all that and learn that in the mm-hmm. few years that I lived in a state where you don't pump your own gas, or you do pump your own gas, sorry.
So apart from pumping our own gas, what else are we chatting about today?
Well, I think this is like one of my favorite topics, is where we share like what we're reading or watching, or what we're listening to. And yeah, I just like to see what you're listening to or watching or reading, and I like to share what I'm doing as well.
Yes, it's our what are you episode.
Yes, what are you doing with your life?
What are you up to? What are you reading, listening to, watching, etc.?
Yes, yes.
What are you into these past few weeks?
So I actually finished watching season 2 of Bridgerton, and chef's kiss, hats tipped to Miss the Great Shonda Rhimes. Impeccable. I thought like she did such a beautiful job of telling the story, and the care she took to tell this story, just yeah, it was just beautifully done. I thought, I know for the fans that read the book series, I get it, like you're a little pressed because it's a little, it deviates from book 2, but I think my stance has always been this, like a book versus a movie or a book versus a TV, they're two totally different things. Mm-hmm. You're telling it now, when that show came into Shonda Rhimes' hands, that became her retelling of something that pre-existed. And let's not forget the fact that Julia Quinn used pre-existing stories like The Taming of the Shrew or Romeo and Juliet and things like that, and like, and made her stories based off of those. So it's not like Julia Quinn did a retelling and Shonda Rhimes is now doing a retelling of that. So there are two totally different mediums and things won't translate the same. So like, let's give her a break on like deviating from the original story. When haven't they deviated? I mean, like, look at Game of Thrones, you guys. So
seriously.
Yeah, like it's okay. But also like, I get it. I understand why I'd be upset, but I mean, but it was beautifully done. I mean, the colors, the acting, the chemistry, the songs, everything impeccable. I thought it was great. And so that's what I finished watching recently. And because of it, I've been very, very much inspired to be listening to almost exclusively the Bridgerton season 1 and season 2 soundtracks.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Like almost exclusively. I mean, I do listen to other things here and there, but yeah, my Apple Music has been mostly Bridgerton stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. I was nodding vigorously when you were talking about, you know, books versus TV, like mm-hmm. books versus shows, books versus movies, because I think that's something that like people get really hung up on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the book didn't tell the story, or the show didn't tell the story, yeah, or the movie didn't tell the story,
yeah,
the way that the book told the story. Mm-hmm. But like, it's a completely different interpretation of, yes, that story. And like, yeah, you said, it's a retelling of, mm-hmm, that story. So now that person has license to interpret it as they see, or, absolutely, to reimagine it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, let's, I mean, like, facts are facts, right? Julia Quinn, the original author, she saw it a specific way because of her experiences and who she is as a woman and as a person in this world, right? And Shonda Rhimes sees it in a very, very different way because of who she is as a person in this world. So yeah, but like, the one thing that, for any, no spoilers, but one thing that I really, it was clear to me that whoever wrote the episodes, like the little things, they are a fan of South Asian films, whether it's,
they definitely really paid attention to the details.
Oh my God, so much attention, like, from like a cultural, and I won't give away a lot, but like, from a cultural aspect, bangles, especially for weddings, play a huge significant part. And someone putting a bangle on you signifies something really big, and breaking bangles and throwing them on the floor signifies something really big from a cultural standpoint. There's other things too, which I even didn't know. For example, there's a scene where the two main characters, their pinkies almost touch. And like I said, I didn't know this, but in South Indian culture, that is, the two pinkies are put together during a wedding. So it signifies like marriage. And so I, like, even that, like,
oh, just
like
a, wow, little detail, so like that, really, really close attention to detail, because really I had attention, no idea.
I also didn't, I mean, I'm not South Indian, so it explains why I wouldn't have known that. I am North Indian, but like little things like that. And then of course, I mean, this, I cannot not say this because it really means a lot. Shonda Rhimes casting two dark-skinned Indian women. Like, yes, this is the representation that I want to see. Like, this, it really meant a lot. And I don't think I'm alone in saying something like that. Like, I know that a lot of people have said something very, very, like, a lot of women in the Indian community, I don't want to say Indian, South Asian community, have expressed the same feelings, that like, it's wonderful to see a dark-skinned South Asian woman be loved and women be loved and desired and courted this, mm-hmm, way, because we don't get to see that in media so often.
Yeah, it was really beautifully done. I'm like about done, but
you're about done.
Yeah. But no spoilers, because it is, you know, it just came out. We don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it.
Yes.
But on that same note of shows who have been, who came from books, or books that were made into shows, I recently read Pieces of You, Pieces of Her, Pieces of You, or Pieces of Her. I can't remember if it's Pieces of Her, or Pieces of You, whatever. Pieces, mm-hmm, of Someone, which was then made into a limited series on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
And I hated the book. And I got through 1.5 episodes of the show because I equally hated the show. And
really?
They were slightly different storylines. Mm-hmm. I still couldn't stand them.
You couldn't get into it.
No,
it's
couldn't.
A thriller, right?
I was so annoyed. Yeah, it's like a, yeah, like
psychological,
an
action thriller.
Yeah.
I see, the thing is, most of the stuff that I read and watch is not in that category. So Netflix even knows not to ever recommend something like that to me. So it never came through for me.
I have to say, it's not even the genre that kind of turned me off about it. It was the main character and the way that she responded to situations. If the main character had been younger, then it would have been more understandable why she responded the way she did.
Gotcha.
But the characterization of the person and then the way that she responded to situations just didn't make any sense in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this girl's a fucking idiot. Why is she doing that? Like, who in their right mind would do that? Like, that's just dumb. You know, and it happened in the book. And then again, it happened in the show where the characters were just not believable, I guess.
Are they
were not believable characters.
This is like just a limited series. It's not going to continue. It's just like,
no, it's a limited series. I think it's like 4 or 5 episodes. I don't know how many exactly. Yeah. It was one book and then the show is a limited series.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're really into it, hey, kudos to you. I hated it. Both the book and the show.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it just because that's just not my peak genre. I'm really into like rom-com-y kind of stuff, and then not only that, but fantasy type stuff. Like that, those are my two genres that I read and watch mostly. Those are the two things that I like to do.
I like rom-com and dramedy. I like some sci-fi, fantasy.
Yeah.
I kind of dabble into a little bit of everything. I can't say that there's any particular genre that I'm like, meh, I don't really care for that. But for the most part, a lot of rom-com, a lot of sci-fi, a lot of fantasy. We recently watched, my husband and I, because we tend to watch, like, whatever we watch together for the most part. Mm-hmm. We watched The Witcher,
mm-hmm.
which we really like. We watched, what's it, Bone and something? Something and Bone?
Oh, yeah. Shadow and Bone?
Shadow and Bone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shadow and Bone, and in that same kind of category, the one about the Winx.
That's more of like a teenager type thing, right?
I think so. It's like a fantasy sci-fi,
yeah,
but also like they're teenagers in high school. I forget what the show, because I think there's a cartoon version.
Oh.
And then they made it into like a show with actual people.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I actually, just because I enjoy the genre, like, you know, these shows have all come up on my recommendations from Netflix. So I have them all on my list. I just haven't watched any of them just yet because I was so full, I was just waiting for Bridgerton. I didn't want to like start anything. I knew that was coming. And I was just like, I'm just going to wait and watch that when it comes out. Yeah. and honestly, like, the first season and season 2 for the most part, I watched it pretty quickly. So right now I am rewatching both seasons, but like super slowly. Like I only watch one episode, you know, every other day. I didn't binge this time.
Yeah, I kind of want to go back and rewatch season 1. I was a little bit, I don't know if surprised is exactly the word that I'm looking for, but more like, like to see that season 2 didn't have the same sexual content heaviness
actually,
that season 1 had.
So this is the funny thing that you, like, I'm I also remember I felt like there was a lot of sexual content in the first season. Mm-hmm. And when I watched the first, I'm only up to like episode 2. And honestly, the main person that's participating in the activity is Anthony. Okay. So he basically carried the sexual content.
Yeah.
So, and then if the second season is his story, it kind of explains why we don't see so much of it in season mm-hmm. 2, because this whole, it's his story at this point, him finding love. What was really interesting to me, and again, not giving away spoilers, but you know, this is set in Regency era, so there's a lot of like focus on women and their purity and virginity. But was really, and again, I think this has a lot to do with a woman writing, the way women write men characters. And then of course, like in this scenario, it's not just the author writing the male character, but it's also the showrunner writing the character. Mm-hmm. So it's been influenced by women's perspectives. They're both, in both seasons, the men are kind of like quote and unquote losing their emotional virginity.
Mm.
I thought that was really interesting.
Like, yeah.
Like there's this importance placed on the women and their physical virginity, but in both of these, the way they're written is that they're breaking down walls with the men and their emotions.
Yeah, true. That is true.
I thought that was really cool.
Stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was really, really cool.
I don't know if the books are written this way too, but I thought it was nice in season 2 that you get to see bits of the upcoming stories. Like you get kind of like a little bit of a preview of what's going to happen with the other siblings.
Yeah, I have no
like how
idea.
Their stories are going to unfold.
Yeah, I have no idea if it's like that in the book. And I told you this the other day, I don't really plan on reading the book only because like the books and let me explain why. Like, as I said in the beginning, they are two very different things to me. So I do treat them as like two totally separate entities, but I just don't want to spoil, you know, like I don't want to have an opinion about it. Like I want to just watch the show and how it plays out. I just really want to like be fully
and just enjoy it as a show.
Just enjoy it as a show. Maybe I'll go back later on and go read the series just for fun. Mm-hmm. But for now, I'm really committed to just watching the show and enjoying the show because I think it's fun.
It is a fun show to watch. I think that'll be interesting too. Like if you skip the books and you watch the shows till the end and then you go back and read the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I wonder, like, I feel like people that read books first and then watch them on TV, like, they have these stories in their head of, like, what the characters are supposed to look like and what's supposed to happen and what the setting is supposed to be and who is and isn't supposed to be there. And if, like, the image on TV doesn't match that,
they get
they're like up in arms. They're like their panties are in a bunch or whatever.
you
know.
Yeah, I can't handle all of the hot takes on why Bridgerton is so wrong. I mean, like, can we all
wait? Are there hot takes on Bridgerton? Is that
there hot takes? Listen, there are hot takes on everything these days. It's just so like exhausted. Like, aren't you all exhausted? Why do you have so many hot takes? Just relax, my friends.
Like why do you have so much time to do this?
Go have a drink.
Enjoy a Mai Tai.
Enjoy a Mai Tai. Like,
they're very delicious.
Just enjoy yourselves. Enjoy your lives. But I think you're right. I think what happens is, and this was true for me too, right? Harry Potter,
Oh my God, Harry Potter came to mind when you said that.
Yeah, like this is very, very true for myself too. I'm also equally guilty for this one, right? So for example, Harry Potter book three. Book three is my favorite book. It is absolutely my favorite book. And I envisioned it a certain specific way. And there's like a lot of themes that play into Harry Potter's book three. And when I saw it at the movies, back when the movies was a thing.
The movie did not live up to it.
To me, it didn't. Like I left the theater very disappointed. Yeah. Like I was just like, what was this? Like, what did I just watch? I don't like it at all. And non-book readers loved the movie. In fact, to this day, movie three is talked about, highly regarded, because apparently the way that it's directed and done is really visually cool and all sorts of things.
But if you read the book first.
If you have an opinion about it, yeah, right?
You have this vision in your head.
Yeah, exactly. This is exactly why. I'm not going to ruin my experience with the great Shonda Rhimes retelling the story. Like, there's no way I'm not doing it. I want to watch this play out. Not ruining my life right now.
Yeah.
What else are you watching?
So I've started the last season of This Is Us. Mm-hmm. And like anybody that follows This Is Us, you know, it's like,
it's
get your box of tissues and and sit with yourself.
Yeah. I actually,
I love it because I think it's kind of like a cathartic experience almost, like, you know, just kind of sit there and enjoy all the feelings and just kind of, you know.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, let it play out and let it be. Like, yeah, life sucks sometimes. Yeah, some, like, a lot of, you know, really sad shit happens, and also like a lot of really amazing things happen. And
yeah,
that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. That is my one emotional guilty pleasure. I fully engage in that. Like, I get ready, I prep, like, I watch it on Hulu, and so I watch it the next day. And sometimes I'll just save it until like even Thursday or Friday evening when the week is starting to wind down. And, you know, I move my phone in the other room and I fully engage in a good, like, emotional cry fest. because like you said, it is cathartic. And I forget the showrunner's name, something Fogel, the guy from Happy Days. I don't remember his name.
I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter right now, but I really appreciate
Happy Days from the 70s.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's him. He's a director. Holy now.
Crap.
Yeah, so he's a director now, but like, he's not an actor or anything like that. Anyway, the showrunner for This Is Us, I love the way he tells this story about a family and the complexities of that. I also really like not cheesy shows like Seventh Heaven, not that. I really like shows like This Is Us or The Parenthood, and, you know, back in the day, I think we all liked The Cosby Show. maybe not anymore.
Back
but
before it wasn't okay to like it.
Way, way, way before, when it was still on, like, regular TV, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, like, what were the Sievers? Mike Siever, and there was, like, four of them. Oh, my God, I don't even remember.
Okay, it's ringing a bell, but the name of the show is not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the name of the show is, but I really like shows like that where they depict families, because you and I both come from like interesting families, mm-hmm. not interesting in a bad way, just interesting families.
Yeah.
And seeing that dynamic play out is enjoyable.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I think that like the intricacies of being part of a family like that, like a family that's all up in each other's business, but but at the same time, like, you know, everybody has their own like separate lives, mm-hmm. you know, like we're individuals, but we're also in like part of this thing where we're like
we're in part each of the system
businesses. Yeah,
yeah. Like, we're all part of the system, and we all play a role in the system and creating this dynamic. Like, we've created an entity, and that's the family. And so to yes. see that entity play out, I think is very, very interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things I like about it too.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. It's really interesting. And
like, even, you know, like some of the, like the very kind of real raw moments, like in, I don't know if it was last season or the season before, there was this big blowout between Randall and, oh my God, what's the brother's
Kevin.
Name? Kevin. Yeah, Kevin and Randall, where they said some really nasty shit to each other.
Mm-hmm. And but siblings do that.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, you do say some fucked up shit to each other sometimes. Yeah. But, you know, for the most part, unless it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how everyone else's family is, but I think you find a way around it.
Yeah, you figure out how to not just navigate situations like that, but to heal from stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
So it isn't just about, you know, like cutting someone off or like navigating around them or navigating around a bad mm-hmm, actor mm-hmm. or whatever like that. You know, so it is really wonderful to see shows like This Is Us and The Parenthood that focus on families. I really appreciate it, especially, or even like Gilmore Girls, you know, it's a story about three generations basically, right? And it's really lovely to see stuff like that, especially when so many shows focus mostly on your friendships. For example, How I Met Your Mother, how Friends, Sex and the City, all of these shows focus on friendships. And mm-hmm. when you have a strong family dynamic, you kind of feel left out, like from those shows a little bit.
Well, I think that too, some of the shows that focus on family are almost always comedies.
Yeah, they're like sitcom-y, you know? Kind of like yeah. Blackish or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah.
So you were looking at like goofy, you know, goofy
characteristics. Yeah. Goofy
characters. Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
not focusing on, you know, like the real messed up shit.
Yeah, exactly. What else are you listening to right now? Are you listening to any new music or anything like that?
So I'm super into, there's this Colombian artist, his name is Camilo, and he kind of came into the pop, like Spanish pop music scene mm-hmm. a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he just makes like really cool, fun, but also like sweet, cute songs that are so catchy.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm super, super, super into listening to him. And the other thing is audiobooks. My husband and I know you're listening too,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've gotten back to it, the Glass and Steel series.
Oh yeah, you're listening. Yes. How far did you all get?
So we're on book six now.
Nice.
Yeah, we've
you got all got pretty
club.
Far.
We've got a book club going. Just
that's
the
cute.
Two of us. Yeah. So we're kind of listening together-ish. So mm-hmm. we're listening to the same book at the same time, but mm-hmm. you know, like not at the same pace necessarily. Mm-hmm. And discussing the different points of the book.
Yeah, it's a really, it's an interesting story. I think that the author did a really good job of creating a world, a whole like universe.
Yes, I agree with that, because I feel like I thought, damn, this series has 12 books mm-hmm. in it. Like, how in the world is this person going to continue to tell this story throughout 12 books? Like, where yeah. else are they going with it?
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, every single book is its own murder mystery. Mm-hmm. And then you've got like the fantasy aspect, and
yeah.
you've got the romantic
aspect, yeah,
aspect. So there's, you know, there's like a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah.
And as I get closer to the end of book six, I'm like, I want to know what the next book is about. Like,
yeah, I also really appreciate, I think the author is CJ Archer. I appreciate the way they depict the author has done multiple series, and I have read another series of theirs, and I thought that they did a really good job of like how women are depicted too. The women are really strong in the other series as well as in this series. The women are strong and they're opinionated, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they don't fall for like antics and stuff. So I really appreciate the way the author depicted women as well.
I agree with you. And I love that even though this story is set in like, I don't know.
Regency area or like.
Regency, yeah.
Yeah,
Regency
right?
Regency era. That even though it's set, you know, Regency era, that there's still space for mm-hmm. queer characters.
Yes.
Characters of color.
Yes.
Like, and they're important characters in the story. Mm-hmm. They're not like, you know,
side characters or servants or whatever.
Yes, yes, yes. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like I appreciate the work that the author did with that. Like, and I always do get nervous. There was a series that I really wanted to read, and I had put it on my like to be read you know, the virtual shelf, my million book to be read virtual shelf. And I think it was Sarah J. Maas. And I think the book is like something, a thorn, something, something. And I really wanted to read that series because I kept hearing really amazing things about it. But I follow a lot of women of color book reviewers, mm-hmm. and they all were saying how horrible the books are because of the way the author depicts people of color in the books and how they're, you know, they just don't do a really good job of that. And so whenever I pick up a book now, I'm always like nervous, like, or before I even put it on my to be read pile, like I'm nervous, like, oh man, did the author take care of how they write these characters?
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, like, we're already inundated with, you know, all the isms all day long, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to read it in my fantasy books too.
I'm right there with you. I don't know if I've become less tolerant, but I feel like I have way less interest in like movies and books and shows that revolve around characters that look the same and run mm-hmm. in the same circles. And mm-hmm. like, you know, the only space for characters of color or characters who are outside of that are these stereotypical, you know.
Yeah. Tropes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm tired of the
stereotypical. Like, I have no interest.
Same here. So yeah, so it's really important. Like, the other thing too, I found really, really helpful for me at least, is I follow on Instagram as well as on TikTok. I follow only BIPOC reviewers. And I feel that helps me curate my to-be read pile, because they're talking about, they're not just talking about the story alone, but they're also talking about who's in these books and like how they're depicted and things like that. And there's some that just focus solely on BIPOC authors too. So that opens up this whole world for me that I feel like I wasn't trying not to read BIPOC authors, but like, you know, it just happens, right?
Yeah.
Because there's certain things that are just promoted more and not, you know? So it's just opened up my world a little bit more. Like, for example, I read, what was that book called? A Witch is Born. I think it was called A Witch is Born or something like that. I could be wrong and I'll find out. It was months ago I read this book. And it just opened up a whole new universe for me. And it was written by, I believe she's Dominican. The author is Dominican and the character is Dominican too. And it just like opened up this like whole world. And I thought it was really great. And it's set in New York City. So it was just like, this feels like I'm reading something that I can really relate to. It's YA fantasy, but like, it's still totally relatable.
So, that's awesome. I just say, I think there's like this whole, I don't know, the word is not taboo, but the word that comes to mind is taboo about reading YA
and
YA fantasy or YA romance. I don't know, because, you know, quote unquote, it's meant for young adults or whatever, but there are so many good reads in like the whole realm of young adult, like the bulk of what I've read in the last 6 months, like I would say maybe 70% of it falls into young adult, you know, whether it's, you know, young adult romance or fantasy or,
I think,
and a lot of what I've read that is written by Latin authors is in the YA category. And I love, like, I've always loved reading Latin authors because I like reading. I actually enjoy reading in Spanish because it keeps my Spanish sharp. And I've always done it since I was a teenager. Like, I've been an avid reader my whole life. But as a teenager, I read a ton and I would always seek out books in Spanish to sharpen my Spanish.
Yeah.
But a lot of it falls in that category. And I feel like there's this, I don't know, maybe a stigma. That's what it is.
I think that's, you know, I think that the people that are trying to stigmatize that, my question to you would be like, well, if we have BIPOC authors writing YA and that's accessible to us, why are you trying to cut us off from that? Like, that's a question that comes to mind for me. Like does that seem really off, right? By the way, it was called...
Yeah, like, it's that, that's your problem.
Yeah, like, that's not a me problem. That's a you problem.
Yeah.
By the way, the book was called Labyrinth Lost by, I'm going to butcher her name, Soraida Cordova. So, yeah. So, she has a whole series... I have another book of hers that I'm really excited to read as well. It's called like The Inheritance of Something.
Check that out.
Yeah, I'm really excited to read that. Otherwise, like other than, of course, the Bridgerton soundtrack, I've been really into this playlist that someone else created that I happened to find. It's just called like Feel Good Music, Vibe and Thrive. And they, the same creator of that playlist has created multiple playlists. Like some of it is to like vibe and thrive. Some of it is for working out. And I just listen to that in the background, like almost every day, like except for now that I'm listening to Bridgerton in the background. So yeah, those two things, like in terms of like music, that's what I've been listening to. In terms of books, I can't remember if I mentioned this before, but I finished Mango Mumbo and Murder by Raquel Reyes.
Ooh.
Oh, I want to hear that. I mean,
so fun.
Read it, hear it.
Yeah. You know, whatever. So much fun.
I think that's on my list.
Yeah. So much fun. I loved it. It's supposed to be a series. So I cannot wait for what's next. This is the kind of stuff I love. Like, it's really light read. It's a fast paced light read. It's enjoyable. It's quirky. There's a lot of like, she is part Cuban and part Dominican, if I'm not mistaken. So she makes a lot of really cool Caribbean dishes. She talks about her food all the time. She's like a food anthropologist. So there's a lot of focus on food and the history of food and things like that. So, and it's like a cozy mystery category of books. Mm. Love it. I'm so excited to see what she has coming next. The other one that I read, again, super, super light read, was Mermaids and Meringue by Danielle Garrett. Super, mm-hmm. super light read. It's just about like a woman. She's a witch. She's like, she's a witch that can talk to animals, and she rescues a mermaid. These are the kinds of things I like to, you know, mm-hmm. to read. I literally, before we started recording, today, just finished from, what's her name? Jasmine? I'm going to look it up. Give me one second.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
So she wrote The Proposal as well. I want to say Jasmine Guillory. I'm butchering her last name. And she wrote this book called The Proposal, and I'm reading that right now, but I just finished another one of her books that I just don't remember the name of. Like, I literally just finished reading it. Was it like The Holiday or something like that? It was something about a holiday. So she has
a holiday.
Yeah, it was a backlist. It's one of her books from her backlist, and I just read that. It was really good. I thought it was really cute read. And what I really appreciated about this one was the representation. She writes about, so typically we're reading about characters that are like in their like 30s, 20s or 30s, unless it's YA, and then they're like in their teens, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But this woman was like in her 50s. And it was nice to read a story, a romance.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a romance. Mm-hmm. And the main character was in her 50s. So it was really, really cute. I thought it was really great. The Royal Holiday. Oh my gosh, why did that take me so long to like figure out? Okay, The Royal Holiday. And like some of the other ones. And I just finished reading that, and I started The Proposal next, but there's like a bunch of other books that she has. Like, she has like The Wedding Party and The Wedding Date, and I'm going to read all of them. I'm going through her backlist basically and reading all of those books. Yeah, so just like some fun little light reads. I'm trying really hard to read more. I feel like I used to read a lot more, and I'm in a kind of a little bit of a slump-ish. I'm going at a really slow pace, a lot slower than I normally do.
Huh. Are you not finding time, or are you not prioritizing it?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's like I'm not prioritizing it as much, and I'm not finding the time. So like it's like the first thing to go, and like it's just like little things. Like I go through phases of this where I'm like really into music, and I'll just like be like I'm not listening to any books. I'm not reading any books. I just want to listen to music. So I'm going through that a little bit right now. I'm just listening to a lot of music. I also went to Nisha Sharma, who is a South Asian author. She writes romance. She writes YA romance. She's writing a mafia romance right now. And she is doing a retelling of Shakespeare. She's doing a series of a retelling of Shakespeare. She just released earlier in March a book called Dating Dr. Dill. I went to the event that she had for mm-hmm. that release date. And so I got to meet her. Like,
oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I was like super excited. And so I'm reading that book too. I immediately started that book the day that I got the book, the day of the event. It's called Dating Dr. Dill, Perfection, Perfection, Perfection. It's so, so, so good. I'll just give you a little hint. Dill means heart in Hindi. And the guy, the main character, the male main character, his name is Prem. And just, which means love. I mean, what? So yeah, it's just perfect. And it's really, and this is the thing I think I really loved about, I'll say this one last thought and then I'll let you speak because I've been rambling for a while. I think this is what I really appreciated, the way that Shonda Rhimes did Bridgerton season 2 and the way that I'm reading Nisha Sharma's Dating Dr. Dill. There's no explanation for the cultural things, and there's no exotifying of the cultural things of being South Asian. And that is what I appreciate so much. There's no explanation for it. Like, oh, in Bridgerton,
it's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. They have a whole ceremony. Like, she oils her hair. She does a haldi ceremony. There's no, like, it's just, that's just how it is. And mm-hmm. I love that. And that's how Dating Dr. Dill is. So just love, love, love. Same thing with Raquel Reyes, the way she did Mambo Mango and Mamba Murder. yeah, there's no explanation for like what's sonpocho. She just said, "I'm making sonpocho."
Yeah,
like she explains what she, how she gets the recipe and why she's making mm-hmm. it, but there's no explanation. Like, I love yeah. that. I love it. Yep. Anyway, enough of me rambling on and on about like what I'm watching and listening to and stuff.
No, I think we both kind of did that. And when you were talking about, you know, like you were just in the mood for music, I feel like that's kind of typical. At least it is for me. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I have days when I'm like, nope, I want to listen to my, I have this playlist called Pumped.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to listen to my Pumped playlist.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to any books. I don't want to listen to any podcasts. I just want to listen to my pump playlist, and I want to blast it on like as loud as it can go.
Yeah.
On my drive to and from work or to and from wherever I'm going to the right. grocery store, whatever.
And sometimes you just want to rage out. Like,
yes. Yes. Okay. So today I was driving and I had my Pump playlist on, and Ludacris Move Bitch came on, and I was like, yes, yes. And I cranked it up as loud as the car would let me put it up to.
I've been there. Like, the other day, what did I play that was, oh, so in Bridgerton, they do an orchestral version of Dancing on My Own. Mm-hmm. By Robin, and I yes. actually I enjoy that song. It's like I jam out to it, and of course, as I was listening to the orchestral version of it as I was driving, I was like, oh, I want to listen to the real version of this. And I played it, and I had like had it blasting, and it's just like you get to like go, you're in a different universe when you're listening mm-hmm. to that. So I love it.
Yep. So I think that's kind of it for me as far as, you know, reading, watching, listening,
over the last few weeks. I think over the next few weeks too, I'm going to continue with the glass and steel series. I was halted because my Hoopla bars ran out.
Yes, you mentioned that to me.
Yes, the month of March, I was like March 20 something and my Hoopla bars ran out. I was like, no.
So now that it's April, you have your back on track.
Yes.
Yeah. I know sometimes it's like it's a little too much. Like there have been times where I'll accidentally like waste a credit. Like, what? I have one more credit left.
Yeah.
I've been there. Or are you overdo it? You're like, oh man, I went through so many books this month.
Yep. Uh-huh. I was so sad. I was like, no, how could that be? Now I have to wait.
I know. I was, somebody was telling me that like there are certain libraries where you can pay even if you're not a resident and become a member of that library. Mm. And I was like looking into that and I couldn't figure it out. So like I abandoned it.
Well, you should check out our library because you get 12 Hoopla borrows a month. Well,
if you and for anybody that doesn't know this already, if you don't live in the city but you work in the city, so for example, I live right outside of the city in New Jersey and I commute, like you know, like my work is in the city, you're actually allowed to get a New York City public library card. You won't get a state one, you'll get the city one. And I actually have one, but it went expired during the pandemic. So I actually need to just go back to the New York City Public Library and then get that renewed. And I just haven't made the time to do that. I need to do that. But like that would give me access to the New York City Public Library too, which has a lot of really great books as well. So yeah.
Like, that's really cool.
Yeah. I love having access to different types of books because I do look in every app, like, where can I find this one?
Yeah, same here. Same here.
Yeah. There's like this one new series that came out recently. I think it's called like the Arsenic Aunties or something like that. I cannot wait to read this. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's Filipino aunties.
Now that sounds interesting.
That's going to be, I think that's going to be fun. Arsenic
Aunties.
I think it's called the Arsenic Aunties. I could be wrong. By the way, if you haven't, everybody should watch Red Panda. Or no, is it Red Panda? Or I think it's called Red Panda. Wait, I'll look it up right now. On Disney. Turning Red. That's what it is. Not Red Panda. It's
Turning Red.
It's a Disney, it's a new Disney movie. It was so good. And the reason why I remembered that movie was because there's aunties in the movie. So yeah. What else?
I don't know. I kind of think that's a wrap, unless you got something else you want to add.
I don't think so. I'm just looking forward to, yes, it's called, by the way, Arsenic and Adobo.
Oh, yes. I did hear about that one.
Yeah, it's by Mia Manasala.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, she is Filipino, but I could be wrong.
I think you're right. Yes, yeah. I did hear about that one.
Yeah, I just got it and I'm super excited to like get into that one.
Yes.
How are you doing, friends?
I'm almost done. I left a little bit because my husband had a couple sips when I first made it. And he's like, oh, can you make me one? So I was like, I'll just save him a couple sips.
Yes, go for it.
It was really, really good.
Yeah, it's good. I'm almost done with mine as well.
So go watch some shows. Go read some books. Listen to some music.
Tell us what you're listening to.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear. You know what comes to mind when we talk about what we're like, our What Are You episode?
Mm-hmm.
Joy.
Yeah. it is so much fun just to like an exchange of like, what are you reading? Like I write down everything you're reading and, or me listening too. To, and I'm like, oh my God, I need to check that out. Oh my God. I need
yes.
to check that out. And this, I feel like, has inspired me to get out of my like little reading slump that I've been yep. in.
Me too.
By the Definitely way,
take
I,
notes.
Yeah, like I also find, like, this is just like a little tidbit that I have found really useful. The way I have been able to get out of slumps in the past is I'll pick up like shorts, or I'll pick up, like, I typically have like a nonfiction that I'm like looking at throughout. I'm slower with nonfiction than I am with fiction. I go through fiction a lot.
Okay, for a second there, when you said shorts, I thought you were talking about pants.
No, no, I meant like shorts, like short, like,
yeah.
short novellas. Mm-hmm. I'll do like a novella, or I will go back to my nonfiction and get some, like, read some theory. Like one of the nonfictions that I have is Critical Thinking by Bell Hooks. And she did a great job of outlining how to critically think. And that's, I'll like look at that once in a while. I feel like
we talked about that.
We probably briefly. Did. Yeah, like it's
you mentioned it.
Yeah, like it, my nonfiction, the way I do nonfiction is like I'll maybe like look at one for mm-hmm. 4 or 5 months. Because yeah, they're so dense.
I haven't read anything nonfiction in a while, but I think that's okay because I went through a period of like a lot of
nonfiction.
Nonfiction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So it helps me like to get out of my funk. I usually do like a novella, or I'll go back to my nonfiction for a little bit, mm-hmm. get the little boost that I need, and then go from there.
Yeah.
But this gave me a boost. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Cool. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm excited.
Can't wait to hear. I can't wait for you to get on the
I know
glass and steel bandwagon.
Yeah, I need to pick it up. I left off on like book 4, maybe 5, because my library didn't have the next book available. So I started reading a whole bunch of other stuff. So I need to go back to it. I have them all on request or on hold now.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Cool, cool. Well, I think that's a wrap for our season.
Yeah, I think that's all, folks. Put a bow on it.
Yeah, we have a new Instagram.
And if you like it, put a ring on it.
By the way, for our listeners that used to follow us on Instagram, we do have a new Instagram. It is private. We probably will keep it private to avoid weird hacking issues again, so feel free to request us to stay in touch with us there. It's just the handle is Boozy Brunch Girlfriends, and you know, you could request us there and find us there. We just did that today, if that's believable.
Thank you, Barbie.
I don't even know how I did it. Like, I honestly don't even know, because Katie will tell you.
After the Instagram hoops. Mishap mess.
Yeah, it's been a mess. It's been a real mess. We have not been able to, like, not even just recover an account, but even creating an account was, we got taken down. So we have no idea what was going on.
Yep. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Instagram kicked us off.
Yeah. I think they thought that we're bad actors or something. I don't know. Who knows? It doesn't matter. But we're back.
But we're back. Yes.
We're back. All right. So come find us and see you all soon.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on Boozy Brunch. We're your hosts, Barthi and Haiti. Be sure to check us out on Instagram and join us again next week for another Boozy Brunch. What should we drink next week?